Chapter 2. Morgan slept. My first impression of the guy had stuck with me pretty hard. Tall, heavily muscled, with a lean, sunken face I'd always associated with religious ascetics and half-crazy artists. He had brown hair that was unevenly streaked with iron, and a beard that, while always kept trimmed, perpetually seemed to need a few more weeks to fill out. He had hard, steady eyes, and all the comforting, reassuring charm of a dental drill. Asleep, he looked old, tired. I noticed the deep worry lines between his brows and at the corners of his mouth. His hands, which were large and blunt-fingered, showed more of his age than the rest of him. I knew he was better than a century old, which was nudging toward active maturity for a wizard. There were scars across both of his hands, the graffiti of violence. The last two fingers of his right hand were stiff and slightly crooked, as if they'd been badly broken and healed without being properly set. His eyes looked sunken, and the skin beneath them was dark enough to resemble bruises. Maybe Morgan had bad dreams, too. It was harder to be afraid of him when he was asleep. Mouse, my big gray dog, rose from his usual napping post in the kitchen alcove and shambled over to stand beside me, 200 pounds of silent companionship. He looked soberly at Morgan and then up at me. "Do me a favor," I told him. "Stay with him. Make sure he doesn't try to walk on that leg. It could kill him." Mouse nudged his head against my hip, made a quiet snorting sound, and padded over to the bed. He lay down on the floor, stretching out alongside it, and promptly went back to sleep. I pulled the door most of the way shut and sank down into the easy chair by the fireplace, where I could rub my temples and try to think. The White Council of Wizards was the governing body for the practice of magic in the world, and made up of its most powerful practitioners. Being a member of the White Council was something akin to earning your black belt in a martial art. It meant that you could handle yourself well, that you had real skill that was recognized by your fellow wizards. The Council oversaw the use of magic among its members according to the 7 laws of magic. God help the poor practitioner who broke one of the laws. The Council would send the wardens to administer justice, which generally took the form of ruthless pursuit, a swift trial, and a prompt execution when the offender wasn't killed resisting arrest. It sounds harsh, and it is, but over time I'd been forced to admit that it might well be necessary. The use of black magic corrupts the mind and the heart and the soul of the wizard employing it. It doesn't happen instantly, and it doesn't happen all at once. It's a slow, festering thing that grows like a tumor until whatever human empathy and compassion a person might have once had is consumed in the need for power. By the time a wizard has fallen to that temptation and become a warlock, people are dead, or worse than dead. It was the duty of the wardens to make a quick end of warlocks by any means necessary. There was more to being a warden than that, though. They were also the soldiers and defenders of the White Council. In our recent war with the vampire courts, the lion's share of the fighting had been carried out by the wardens, those men and women with a gift for swift, violent magic. Hell, in most of the battles, such as they were, it had been Morgan who was in the center of the fighting. I'd done my share during the war, but among my fellow wardens, the only ones who were happy to work with me had been the newer recruits. The older ones had all seen too many lives shattered by the abuse of magic, and their experiences had marked them deeply. With one exception, they didn't like me, they didn't trust me, and they didn't want anything to do with me. That generally suited me just fine.